Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. I talk to you every week on Sunday night around 9 o'clock about what we can expect in the week ahead from the cosmos above. I'm an astrologer. I live in New York, and I'm speaking to you from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I'm going to talk to you about the week's energy, what it feels like, what you can do to work with it effectively or perhaps not effectively, and kind of, about how to take care of yourself. I think that's maybe the best way to say it. As you know, if you've been listening to the show or reading my columns, we're at the very back end of a very, very volatile eclipse season. The eclipse season started on June 23rd, 22nd, the day or so after Father's Day, and it's been running for the last few weeks, all of July, and now about to have our final going forward. So with that, what we're going to be doing is we've got one more eclipse that will be taking place this week on Wednesday. And what that eclipse is going to do for us is it's going to wrap up the story. Now, very interestingly, at least for me as an astrologer, is the new moon, because eclipses are always come from new moons, or any full moon comes from a new moon. The new moon for this one was in February of 2008. And back in February of 2008, there was an eclipse as Pluto went into Capricorn for the first time in 248 years, since 1762. And the last time Pluto was in Capricorn, we had the American Revolution, the French Revolution, and we stood up and said as a nation, no to power. No to abusive power, maybe is a better way to say it. At that time, the sun never set on the British Empire, and the United States was a colony. And we were like, nope, we don't want to be answering to you anymore. We don't want to be paying your taxes, you know, taxation without representation, yada, yada. The Declaration of Independence. And every 250 years, if we look and study history, Pluto in Capricorn brings about the changes in the structures of the existing governments and in the understanding of humans about how they should be governed by their authorities or their rulers. Because Capricorn is the sign of the ruler and the sign of what we amount to, and it's the highest sign in the chart. It natally rules the 10th house, so it's what we aspire to be. And so when Pluto goes into the 10th house in the cosmic chart, the world chart, we actually look at our society and our collective, and we say, is this what I really want? And so as Pluto entered Capricorn in February of 2008, that's when we started to notice all the major changes in the government, in the banks, in the corporations. So when we started to have the financial meltdowns and the global financial crisis. And Capricorn rules governments, banks, corporations. And we know when Pluto enters a sign, those of us who study the heavens, he brings with him change. And he brings with him renovation. And he brings with him, okay, now we're going to really settle down and we're going to start to work in it. So anyway, back in February of 2008, there was a new moon. And that new moon is culminating this week in the full moon that takes place on this eclipse right now. So we actually have kind of a link in the story. And I want you to think about it. You remember, you know, the heavens give us time to work out things and time to figure out things and time to get clear about how we want to do things. So what's been going on for us over the last year and a half since that full moon or that new moon in February of 2008, is we've been starting to work with Pluto and Capricorn energy. And like any major transition in our life, when there's a big change, there's stuff that has to leave, and there's stuff that has to be reshuffled and reorganized and put into new piles. And so that's kind of what we've been doing for this last year and a half, is reorganizing and restructuring and figuring out what we want to keep and what we don't want to keep, what we're going to go forward with through Pluto and Capricorn's journey, which is until 2024, and what kinds of stuff we're going to let go. And so we're having this big turmoil over this last month or two because the eclipses in July were in Cancer Capricorn, remember Capricorn Pluto, and they said, okay, what don't you need? What needs to leave? What needs to go? What needs to be finished? And now this eclipse is in Leo and Aquarius, and what it says is, do you remember when I went into Capricorn back there in February of 2008 and you said this is what was important to you? Well, now I'm coming back and I'm going to say, okay, let's get started on it. And so what this eclipse is it's a full moon of that time, and it asks you to look back and say, what did you start back then? What did you say you were going to do? Have you done it? If you haven't, time to get busy on it. If you have, there's kind of a full moon energy around it where you see it in a new light. Okay? So that's part one. Part two is, this is the wrap-up for the eclipses. So normally we have two eclipses, but sometimes what an eclipse is kind of a cosmic can-can dance where the Earth and the Sun and the Moon all line up together, and they're all related to each other, and they're all in a row. Okay? So what it does is it makes the energy much more volatile and much more high, you know, just kind of really pushes the energy. And I have a little kitten here who's going to be squeaking in a few minutes. He's my eclipse story. Brought chaos and change to the household. So from your point of view, what this eclipse has done is it's brought changes into your life too. And when an eclipse takes place somewhere in your chart, what it does is it changes things and it says, okay, this has to go. This new thing can stay. And what eclipses also do is they bring to light the things you haven't seen or you didn't see, or maybe you saw but you didn't see it quite the same way. Oftentimes the situation has existed for a while, but it comes to light now. And when it comes to light under an eclipse, it often comes to light fairly dramatically and with a bit of a, oh my God, what do I have to do? What do I do now? Because eclipses make us feel we have to take action immediately or we're just going to burst. At the same time, often the choices of actions under an eclipse are fairly prescribed. There's not a lot of stuff. This cat's back again. There's not a lot of stuff you can do to make an eclipse calm down, because what its energy is about is producing change. So if you're thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll just kind of avoid dealing with this, no, eclipse says got to do it now. If you're thinking, well, maybe if I just pretend this isn't happening, it'll go away. No, eclipse is saying we're going to make you pay attention to it because it's been a problem for a while and you haven't been paying attention. And what the eclipse also does is it usually ends things or makes things change. Eclipsing is what it comes from, and it means to leave or to lift up. So sometimes an eclipse is, you know, the show star breaks her leg and the understudy goes on and becomes an overnight success. Other times, someone who's in a leadership position or been a leader or an authority in our lives leaves and goes on to the next form of incarnation, whatever that may be. And in our case, this eclipse season has certainly brought a number of changes in terms of some of our leaders and our people that we're looking at. And it's also brought to light a number of things that we hadn't seen before, but suddenly all of a sudden we see them. So the eclipse energy speaks to you on a bigger level. The cat's back again. I want you to know, I put him on the floor, and then he's got this little path to get back on the desk where he jumps on a file, and he jumps on the windowsill, and he comes around the corner and then sits here, like playing with the keyboard. So I pet him, then I put him on the floor, and then we do it again. It's a big game. Life's a game. You just need to know that. Eclipses also are about teaching you that life's a game and that there is a bigger order to things, and that there is a bigger purpose to things, and that you're actually here for a reason. And oh, by the way, the reason is being illuminated for you now. So think about what you've learned in your life or that you've seen happen in your friends' lives, because sometimes we witness the eclipses instead of them happening to us. What's been happening since June 23rd and what they've learned or what's come to light or what they've seen or what they didn't know was there and that they've had to work with and deal with. Because eclipses do illuminate and do bring to light. So the eclipse energy for this week is really powerful. And what it's going to do is, because, you know, things take a little while to get settled whenever a planet goes into a new sign, Pluto's still at zero, Capricorn, and he's going to station there on September 11th and go forward again. And so all this activity and all this turmoil and all the stuff that's been happening these last few weeks is to get us ready for Pluto and Capricorn's true journey, which really effectively starts then. Because what you had to do was go through the process that you've gone through over the last few weeks, as well as the process that you've gone through since February of 2008, to get clear on what Pluto and Capricorn's journey is going to mean for you. So depending on what house Pluto's in your chart, what house is Capricorn, Pluto's going to go in there and change it now. And so we're now ready. We're really ready for this. I mean, it feels like it's ready. The banks have collapsed. The economy's horrible. But it's all kind of starting to calm down. And now we start the really profound and deep changes that we have to go through to make Pluto and Capricorn a reality in our life. So the eclipse this week, Wednesday, takes place at 8:55 at night on the eastern seaboard. So you can watch it and go outside and look in the east, and you should be able to see it a little bit before 9. It should start around 7, around 8:30, and you'll watch the sun go over because that's when it's at maximum, is at 8:55. And when it happens is the sun is shining on the moon, and so the moon looks full. And then you'll see Earth move across the shadow of the face of the face of the moon. And you'll see the moon where the shadow crosses turn red. It's very cool. And then you'll see Earth move past it, and you'll see the moon turn back white. It's really cool to watch an eclipse if you've never done it, so I recommend getting your little butt out the door. Now, if you live on further west, like in California, the eclipse is going to take place at 8:55, or at 5:55, so it's not going to be dark for you, but you should see the moon in the sky, because the sun, actually, you might not see the moon in the sky. Never mind, I take that back. but if your other place is like England, you can see it. my geography is not so good. That's what happens when I ad-lib and I don't have it written down. All right, so forward. So we talk about what this eclipse's energy is for. Now, what you do is you cast the clip for the moment of the time that it happens, and you look at where it lands in your chart, and you also look at the country that you're in. So in the United States, this eclipse is cast for that time for Washington, D.C., and it gives us a 29-degree Aquarius rising. And whenever there is an aneretic degree, which is 29 or 28 degrees of a sign on the angles, either the midheaven or the ascendant or descendant, or even a planet, that planet has a little extra power. So what 29 Aquarius does is it makes the collective really, really talking. So all of us in the collective, which is you and me and everybody else that you know who's not in charge, the collective is talking right now. And the collective is saying, you know what I want? You know what I want? Aquarius is technically the sign of the audience. Leo is the sign of the performer. Every performer needs an audience to watch. So as the audience in this eclipse chart, we're looking at the performers and we're saying, are you performing well for me or not? Are you doing what I want you to do or not? So each of us are going to have a little bit of a say as an audience member. Now we can applaud, we can boo, we can get up and walk out, we can sit there and hiss. You know, we have a lot of options. We can give a standing ovation if we think they're doing well. But the Aquarius rising portion of this eclipse chart is going to ask each of us to, as an audience member or as a member of the collective, to look forward and to say what I think should happen. It's kind of like reality TV. We all get a vote on this eclipse. The sun is in the sixth house of health, for certainly, and it's also in the house of workers and human and the health and the body and the habits and the routines. So the sun falls in the sign of the health, but it rules the seventh house of who we're watching. The moon is in the 12th house, which is the hidden things that go on behind the scenes, the secrets, the stuff that nobody really talks about. So the moon's back there, kind of talking to us during this eclipse. Of course, we have the gang of three, Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune, and they are very close to the ascendant of the chart. So what that often means is there's a little bit of an illusion or disillusionment happening with the collective, happening with us, happening with how we see things or what we see. And we often find when Neptune has its way with us, we lose our mind initially, and then we go, I was betrayed. I was abandoned. You know what? I didn't see that before. But now that I see that, never again. It's not happening again. Never, never, never. Now, sometimes we're good at keeping the never again. And other times, we're not so good at it. But the eclipse is going to bring to light the never again energy. That when you look at something and you go, I really don't like this kind of music. When you're a member of the audience and you're in a play and you're going, this is really bad, I want to leave. I didn't realize what kind of food you were taking me out to the restaurant for. I just kind of went along, and now that I know I have to eat Ethiopian goat, you know, the thing looks like a piece of caveman leg. You know, I have one friend who, we don't have a good composite moon. We have a very nice, lots of other things, but we don't have a good composite moon. And whenever I eat out with her, it's always horrible. And I don't try to eat out with her anymore. We tend to do more like, why don't we go have an adventure, but no food. So we were going to see something, and we had she wanted to go to try this new Ethiopian restaurant, which had gotten good reviews, interestingly enough. I don't know who wrote the review. But we get there, and we ordered, like, the featured thing on the menu. Well, it took 45 minutes, and people around us were getting served. And then they finally brought it out, and it was this charred piece of, it looked like a lamb leg. You know, like, it looked like they'd pulled it out of the lamb and threw it on the fire and then thrown it on my plate, and I was kind of looking at it going, it looks like a club. What am I supposed to do with this? How am I even supposed to eat it? It was like a leg of lamb, but it was like a baby lamb. It was very weird. At any rate, burned, horrible. The vegetables were awful. It was like the worst meal I've ever had in my life. And that's kind of like what we're going to be having this week, where we look at the situation ahead of us and we go, you know what, never again. I'm not going to that restaurant ever, ever again. Or I'm not going to be in this situation ever again. I don't want to do this ever again. It's a never again energy. And when we have the never again energy, what we do find out is we get really clear. And we say, you know what, you're always mean to me, so I'm never going to talk to you again. Now, the thing with the universe is that they give you these people, or they give you these situations, for you to have a learning experience. They're indicated in your chart. They're showing up somewhere in your chart. So when I do a reading for someone and they're telling me all about their horrible boss, I can look and see what planet's getting transited and why their boss is horrible and who their boss actually really is and what their horrible boss is trying to make conscious. And this is kind of what this eclipse is doing. This eclipse is going to make conscious for you a situation that's existed in your life for a while that the universe wants you to get so sick and tired of, you never do it again. Now, odds are you're going to do it again, but you're not going to do it again in the same way. You're not going to do it again in the same manner. You're not going to do it again in quite the same version or vision, because you're going to look at it and you're going to see it differently than you've ever seen it before. All right? And that's what the eclipse is for. It brings to light something and you go, never again. And that's a really good, really good response. Now, the second part of the response is to say, okay, I'm not going to blame that person. The reason that that person made me go never again was because I needed to learn that lesson. I asked for it, and I don't mean that in that you somehow deserve the problem or you're a mean person or you did anything wrong, but that your chart said, I want to have the experience of understanding how to work with this in this incarnation and in this life. And I hired, like you hire an actor or an actress, I hire that person to play that role in my life. And they have. And now that they've played that role for a while, I don't really need that role played anymore. I don't need to keep paying them, and I don't need to have them around doing the same job that they've been doing. But I do need to come up with another way to do it, or a different approach, or a different procedure, or something so that it never again happens. And that's what this eclipse is for. As Pluto goes, every sign corrects for the excesses of the previous sign. So Pluto in Sagittarius was all about excess, 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 because Sagittarius is the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We go to parties, we eat a lot of food, we spend a lot of money, we buy stuff people may want or maybe they don't want, but we, you know, think of Christmas time, that period between Thanksgiving and Christmas where it's go, 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 party, 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 busy, 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 busy. And that was what we had since 1995. And now we're in Capricorn time. And Capricorn is January. It's when the you got to go on the diet because the pants don't fit because of all the hors d'oeuvres you ate at all the parties. It's the credit card bills come. You go, why did I buy them that last massage gift certificate? or I can't believe I spent all that money and I broke up with them in New Year's. It's the Capricorn accounting, making sure it's valid, making sure it's real, understanding what's really, really real. And so part of what this eclipse is to get you clear on, because the South Node is in Leo, is the stuff you don't actually really need or the stuff that is done you're going to let go of. And you're going to say, you know, that was really great, but never again. Or maybe again, but under different circumstances. Like maybe I'd go back to that Ethiopian restaurant and I'd try the soup that my friend had that looked pretty good, but I'm not going to get the little leg thing that looked like a, I mean, it was really scary. At the same time, the eclipse energy also wants us to take action. There's a thing in the sky called a cardinal cross. Okay. Now, what happens is when planets take a position in each of the different signs, they form what's called a cross in the chart. So Juno is in Aries, stationing, getting ready to stop and go backwards. Venus is in Cancer at 5. Ceres is in Libra on the world axis, and Pluto is in Capricorn on the world axis. So we have a cardinal cross. What cardinal crosses make us want to do is take some kind of action because we need to move forward. And what needs to move forward in this is a feminine and maternal or partnering energy that wants a new outcome or a new option. So what can often happen in this is relationships really have a hard time, either romantic relationships, parental relationships, mother-daughter, father-son, any relationship, mother-son, father-daughter, any relationship that you expect nurturing to happen in and you don't get it. Or any relationship that you've looked at and said, I think that should nurture me. And what's going to happen is you're going to find out that really what's been going on all along is you've been nurturing it, but that maybe it hasn't been nurturing you, and that maybe you need to nurture yourself a little more and not look to that external thing for nurturing because it can't come from that. It has to come from inside. So, again, the other part of it is when as you release and fire those actors and actresses who have played this role in your life, it's about taking it inside and saying, I understand my own value. I understand my own worth. I understand what is important to me and, more importantly, what is not important to me. And I am going to spend my time on what's important to me. I'm going to focus my attention on what I eat for food so I can lose some weight. I ate a lot of food that last month, but boy, now it's time to be able to fit in my pants. I'm going to focus my attention on my finances because maybe I spent too much and they've got a little out of control. I'm going to focus my attention on Venus and Cancer things, the things that are truly of value to me and that truly nurture me and that nurture me in a way that gives me comfort because the world is sometimes a hard and dark place. And on today, on this week, over the last few weeks, we've needed that nurturing. And what we're going to be learning under this eclipse is how to nurture ourselves. So it's really important, really, really important for you to be gentle with yourself, to give yourself extra time. It's going to be a little bit of a crazy week, but this is the last one, to release, 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 to look at the situations where you're saying never again and say, okay, why did I ask for that situation in my life? What was I trying to learn from them? And what did I learn? And what's important to me to walk away with it as a positive version? So if you got dumped, don't say, I'm never going to love again. Just say, all right, I understand how they reflected how my father didn't like me and my abandonment issues and how they really reflected them. So when I run into someone like that again, I'm going to be a little more cautious before I get involved in them. Or I got this person who's like buying my kid presents and I don't think they should be. And so why not? Why not? Your kid's getting bought presents. Why do you have a problem with it? What about that generosity bothers you? Or what about it bothers you? Because they may not be generous, maybe manipulative and controlling. They're trying to win your kid away. Who knows? Understand the core energy of it. Give it permission to look at it. And the other thing is if it's something you don't really like, give yourself a break. If you look at something and you go, well, I don't like it because I'm jealous, don't be mean to yourself because you're jealous. Jealous is a human emotion. It's okay to be jealous. Jealous is part of the way we're wired. I don't like it because I'm envious. Okay, cool. Envy is a human emotion. It's part of why the way you're wired. Acting on envy, not so good. Being envious, you know, you can be envious. Doesn't mean you have to do anything about it, but at least own it. Understand that the energy that's provoked on this eclipse is to help you get clear. It's to help you see things you never saw before and to make you realize what you need to realize so you can go forward in Capricorn in a good way, in a wholesome way, in a clear way, in a straightforward way. And it's very, very much about giving yourself permission to take that step towards what you need to go towards. And that really, really is the thing to remember. It's not so much never again. It's, well, now that I'm clear on that, now what I'd like to do is bub-up. And whatever bub-up is what you want to start to focus on. All right, so it's about halfway into the show, so we start to take callers now. So our guest call-in number is 347-215-7467. Repeat, 347-215-7467. So feel free to call in with any questions about what we can expect in the upcoming week. The other thing we do have a lot of is this week is Mercury. Mercury's a very busy little guy, and so we're going to be learning a lot of stuff. That's the other part of the week's energy. But otherwise, basically, the eclipse and Mercury, so you're going to be finding out stuff and figuring out what to do with it and seeing it in clear, clear relief so that when Pluto goes direct on September 11th, you're going to be ready to roll. So now our time between here and when the eclipse, which takes place on Wednesday, from the eclipse forward to September 11th, is forward we go, rock and roll. You're in the what's that thing where the horses are in the Kentucky Derby where they're in the little charger parts and they're running with the car? You're in that part. But this week, we're trying to load you into the little gate and get you ready. And you may be a horse that goes, you know, never again, I'm out of here. I don't want to race. I want to sit in a field. Totally fine. But the universe is getting you ready to run. All right, so I'll take some callers. And again, the call-in number 347-215-7467. This is Ann Ortley, your astrologer, talking to you about the weekly weather in the week ahead of August 3rd, 2009. Okay, hi, caller. Is anybody there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Who are you?
Ann, this is Jill. How are you?
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Ann, all I could say is help.
Help. Okay.
That's like the only, yeah, really, I mean, it's just been
hard.
Everything extremely.
Hard.
So I just, I don't know if you have my information there. You want me to give it to you again?
Yep, give me again. I don't want to say your name on the radio, but let me pull up.
Yes, okay.
I don't think I have a whole lot of Jills. I recognize your voice. February 25?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So Jill is February 25th, 1958, and we're pulling her chart up. I've got Las Vegas, San Jose, and...
Born in San Jose, but here now, Northern Jersey.
Yeah. Northern Jersey. Okay, cool. All right, so forward question. The eclipses are kicking your butt. Totally.
Okay.
They're on your Mars. Okay, so we've had a few eclipses. We've had the first one was the new moon eclipse, which was in the house of love given, love received, and in the house of our direction and where we're going.
Oh my goodness.
Our creativity. And it was also in the fifth house, which is the loss of the father, and the 11th house, which is the loss of the mother. For those of you who don't know derived houses, the fifth house is the death of the father, and the 11th house is the death of the mother. And then the second eclipse, which was the new moon, was on Astraea. So what that is like an astringent. It feels almost like you're getting squeezed into some kind of new shape. And then the eclipse that we're having this week is at 14, and that eclipse is bringing up a lot of old emotions and asking them to come to surface. And so the eclipses for you are on very sensitive points. They were on what was most important to you, and then they were on your Ceres and your Mars, which is the nurturing, how you're nurtured and how you're loved, love given, love received. And now they're at the point of saying to you, okay, what do you think about all these changes and how do you want to work with them? So...
Here. God, that is just absolutely right. Absolutely. I mean, it's just perfect.
Okay.
Astrology is amazing to me.
I know.
I lost my dad in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a, you know, relationship commitment thing. It's always been sort of that I seem to draw that that type of man that just can't seem to commit.
Mm-hmm.
So there is my love give, love receive thing, and I just get frustrated with it. And yeah, it's just been a heck of a year.
Yeah. And this eclipse, what this is doing is clearing out a lot of old belief systems, okay,
mm-hmm.
for you. And it's also in the house of health and kind of psychological mental health. So the sun is in the 12th house. So it's traditionally placed kind of a time of being a little depressed or feeling a little bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moon is in the 6th house of saying to you, well, what is the purpose of my life? You know, like, why am I here doing all this stuff? What's the focus? What's the reason? But I think we want to go back to the story of losing dad, because that's also tied to this, because part of the story is, you know, as a Pisces, one of the things that happens is we tend to see, and I have a Pisces moon, we tend to see their souls. We don't always see the person. We see their soul and we see their potential. And the potential is totally there, but we have to look at the behavior. And part of the thing that you have is Mars in Capricorn, which is a very good wanting to see the behavior and wanting to understand what the behavior is. But the Mercury in Pisces tends to listen to the words rather than looking at the behavior. And so what this eclipse is doing is bringing to light the behavior rather than you listening to the words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying to you, listen to the words. I don't have a problem with that, but you got to look at what they're doing too. You got to look at the behavior. And you have to understand that part of the way you were raised with the South Node or the North Node and Jupiter and Neptune in the third was you were raised to be kind of a little detective, and you always figured things out rather than, and you did, you're great at figuring things out, but you don't always look at the behavior because that's not, that wasn't validated maybe as much. And the other thing with Moon High, loss of the dad is really big. So there's a whole moon in Taurus high in the chart. There's a whole energy with the loss of the parental, either parent, but certainly the moon on the midheaven says dad was important. As that loss happens, honoring it and giving it time and understanding right now you're particularly vulnerable to everything.
Yes.
Know? Yeah.
No, it's absolutely correct. I mean, my dad was my mentor, one of my best friends. I mean, just such a loss for me. I can't even get myself to talk about it to most people. I it's so painful.
Yeah.
He was a Pisces too.
Right. Well, that son's a Pisces. Son's in Pisces. And see, your connection with your dad, which, as profound as it was, you know, Pisces are, you know, you kind of see their souls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what happens is then you're going to pull in other Pisces people where you're or other people who you're going to see the soul of. And then there's an energy where you have to look and say, okay, I see their soul, but how are they behaving? What are they actually doing? And how are they showing up for me?
Right.
And you're
also having
you know, some big changes. And for those of you who want to do the astrology, this February 2, 5, 58, 5:20 in the evening in San Jose. It occurred to me I didn't say that. So you also have Venus in conjunct Pluto. And so that right now is getting a lot of developmental stress, kind of saying, okay, I have found something I really truly love, but it isn't there for me. It isn't showing up for me. And when the challenge, you know, developmentally for you, Pluto going through the fifth house, this is the time, this next time period between now and 2024, as a Virgo rising, is when you find true love. You're not really supposed to have found it up until now, because Pluto wants you to really understand the experience of love given and love received and take it to an incredibly deep level, starting off with the loss of your dad and making you appreciate that as a love lost. But then also as Pluto goes into that fifth house, it's going to give you an understanding on a different level of what you're really trying to accomplish. And then for the Pisces part, it's the house of hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
So for your Pisces sun, what you're going to be doing is getting clear on what your hopes and dreams are and what they look like and what their purpose is. And for your mm-hmm. Taurus moon, right, which is mm-hmm. it's about merging and connecting, this has got a very strong energy of the spiritual path and what the vision behind spirit is for you, what that looks like. So you're entering a period of time where, I know, when we get to be, you know, older, 58, born in 58, so what, you're like, well,
51.
We get to be 51, we start thinking, gee, time's passing me by, what's never going to happen. And actually,
yeah.
I would say to you, Pluto going into the fifth, now is when it's supposed to happen, because your job for the last number of years has been about the home and family and raising the kids.
Yeah,
and,
I've been divorced 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And getting, you know, but when Pluto was at the last degrees of Scorpio, which would be like 90, that was when you started this kind of by yourself thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're done with that. Now you're ready to merge on a deeper level because Pluto's into your fifth house, 29 Sag on your edge of your fifth. So he's into Virgo. He's into Cap now, and he's saying, okay, I'm ready for a really deep and profound relationship. What does that look like? How do I find that? Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm like I said, I'm attracting, the ones I'm attracted to anyway, let me put it that way, are just, and it's very rare that I am attracted to most men, so mm-hmm. there I go with the same last two guys, the same type of man.
Right.
And
you are Pluto and Virgo, you're fussy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, dirty teeth, bad fingernails, bad table
yes.
manners, they get up, they get the boot, no problem. You're not
but
supposed
so
to be
is
with
this
someone.
Person, so is this person that I'm sort of seeing. He's got mm-hmm. a Pluto. I mean, he's a Virgo rising also. He's a Taurus with a moon in Capricorn.
Oh, okay. So that's a nice mix.
But I'm wondering if maybe my connection, do you think this would make a difference? Or if there's some type of, there is a connection between us that we just, you feel it, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, it's not just a normal thing.
Right.
He's got a North Node Pisces and my South Node's Taurus.
Right, and the North Node Pisces is on your Sun and Mercury, right? So that connects.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah, his nodes on your Taurus, your nodes are on his stuff too. So when
yeah.
we find, what we often find with nodal relationships, particularly, especially if it's close, like if his stuff is near to
mm-hmm.
Taurus or near, your stuff is, his nodes are near 5-6 of Pisces. What we find with the past life people is, that, you know, those are past life people. The giant sucking sound, you know, kind of calls you across the room.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss the magnetism for, you
mm-hmm.
know, it just hits you on the head. And
mm-hmm.
you go, that's the one. And it is the one, because what you've agreed to on some level is for your soul to meet them in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You guys said, okay, all right, we're going to go back in, and we're going to put a little magnet on both of our bodies so that when I run into you in a crowded room, I'm going to feel your energy, I'm going to look and see you. Vice
yeah.
versa. Got it? And so that's the deal. But because it was on the nodes, there was also a past life relationship that brings in with it existing baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's already baggage that arrives with it because
yeah.
it's an emotional connection from a previous life. So when we see that, we have to say, okay, let me understand what my emotional connection with you from the previous life is. Because before I can go forward in this relationship with a true relationship with you, I have to fix that unresolved stuff. And if you can get clear on what that is, and usually what it is it's the struggle between you in this relationship as it first shows up. So if
okay.
the struggle was lack of commitment, you have to say, okay, last time we were together, that was the issue. So you didn't commit to me then.
Mm.
I'm not going to waste any time on you if you don't commit to me now. Commit to me means da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can you do it? Yes, no, maybe, not sure, whatever.
Mm.
No problem. You know where I am. Let me find you. You find me when you're ready. It's understand, and it's, of course, a lot more complicated than that.
yeah.
But it's understanding that usually what happens when it's a pass-no relationship is that the person, you can't leave them, but you can't stay with them either, because the issue
yes.
is the issue is kind of in there just swirling around. So
even
when
just lack of communication, there's hardly, it's just like, that's frustrating.
Yes.
But it just doesn't, he doesn't talk much. And
right.
Yeah.
And so you have to say, well, we're going to get when are we getting together? You know, what's the deal? And then the other part of it is, you know, people, you judge people by how they spend time with you. So with that Capricorn Taurus mix, you're looking at a bit of a workaholic who loses track of time.
Oh my God, that's an understatement, workaholic.
Yeah. And so you have to say to him at the end of your life, how are you going to measure it? Cuz Pluto and Capricorn
yeah.
is going to come along and bring to him challenges around the work capacity. And to say, you know, there's many reasons why we're in life. And part of it, with the Taurus part, it wants the material comfort and it wants the physical connection. The Capricorn part wants to work. And a lot of times what I find is the Capricorns work and work and work, and they don't give themselves the physical connection and the physical part of it because it's a little scary, and it's a lot easier to manage work than to manage relationships because basically relationships are unmanageable anyway. You know, we're in them, and we're going, what the heck am I doing?
So no, you're absolutely correct in what you're saying, because he loves it when he's with me, but then it's like he gets scared and runs away, and he's a workaholic, so that's part of his excuse, too, is he's busy.
Right. And you just say, well, people spend time on what's important to them, so I guess I must not be important to you.
I've said all that.
not saying it from a guilty place, just saying I'm evaluating this and saying, so I'm going to move along. Because I want a committed relationship with a partner who shows up.
Absolutely.
And while you're absolutely fabulous, I'm going to say to the universe, okay, next, I've given you this time, you haven't shown up, which is totally your choice, but I'm not waiting.
It's
and you
funny
have to then
you're,
pull that plug.
Right, and when you said
universe,
I'm never, ever, ever going to do, that's exactly what I said last week. And it's funny that your column says exactly that. I will never put up with this kind of thing again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's because it's two in a row, and I thought, I'm done. No more will I accept this type of, because you're right, I do know what I want now, and this is, they have to show up. Well, I appreciate your...
Yeah. Well, that's the whole idea. And it's not that you did anything wrong. You didn't.
Right.
It's just understanding, I don't want to do this again. I'm done with that, because what I want is what? And define what you want. Because the other thing with your chart is you got the Virgo rising, but that Sun in Pisces is over there like a little magnet, and it pulls in maybe people that are a little less responsible than you would actually like.
Mm-hmm.
So come up with a responsible kind of Pisces description. You know, like they're actually a spiritual person who chants every morning, and they're religious and they're chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they use that spiritual piece. How do they use their South Node in Pisces rather than being inconsistent in the way that they show up?
He's got a North Node Pisces.
North Node Pisces, okay.
Yeah. So, well, he does go to meditation. At least he's doing something.
Okay. All right.
You know?
So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how he's using his Pisces. He's not calling you. We want the nodes working towards the physical. And I would really question how often he goes to meditation. I bet he says he goes a lot more than he actually goes. But that's just because it is his North Node. One day a week, okay. Because his South Node's in Virgo. So the obsession is going to be to work.
Right, and he's a Virgo rising.
So his whole issue is it's hard for him, he's supposed to go from being separate, South Node in Virgo, towards North Node in Pisces, merging.
Right, and he's got a Mars that's a retrograde, so you know how it's slow, and
so
he can't give himself permission.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but
you
it's
are, in Sag.
And he's, but you are a good-looking woman. So you need to know that this is not, like, the only fish in the sea.
I know.
Yeah.
I appreciate you looking at my chart because I knew there was something. I said, this eclipse is really kicking my butt. I mean, literally, I couldn't get out of my bed. And as well with losing my dad, I was just depleted with everything, you know.
No,
but
this is
hard. Thank you. And I'm glad you survived this rain.
Yes.
You didn't get washed away down York Avenue into the Hudson River.
No, washed away.
No.
I was actually in my house watching it rain on other people going, I'm in the house working.
It was insane. Well, today I left from church to get into my car, and just that little bit of walk, I was drenched as if you put a hose on me, and I had an umbrella.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just crazy. Wow. But anyway, thank you, Anne. I love reading everything and your columns and everything. Take care of yourself. I'll see you again.
Okay, you're almost done with this. When you've had the two hard parts already, you're in the emotional processing release now, so it'll be easier after this week.
Okay.
And
thanks
cry.
A lot.
I appreciate your help. And get it out.
I have been.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, have a great week.
You too.
Okay,
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, so I'm going to try the next caller. Hi, 510. Are you there? Hello? I don't know. Let's see if it works. Hello, 510. I don't know. We'll try the next one. Hi, are you there? Whoops, my screen just did weird things. 510, are you there? Nope, okay, no caller. All right, we'll try the next one. All right. This is 503 we're trying now. 503, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Are you 503 or 510?
503.
Hi, 503. How are you? Who are you? What's your first name?
Kayla.
Kayla?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Kayla. And what can I do for you tonight on this almost eclipse?
Hi. I guess my birth date is October the 1st, 1973.
October 1st, 1973. What time?
12:15 a.m.
12:15 a.m. Where?
Bombay, I guess Mumbai.
Okay.
India.
India. Okay. Cool. And what's your question?
I guess I am finding myself in a holding pattern of sorts for a while now, and wondering when it's going to ease up and, you know, some sort of a release of sorts.
Okay. Because today's kind of show is kind of on the eclipses. So the eclipses have been in your first house, and I'm showing you as a Libra, sun in Libra with a moon in Scorpio. Okay, so the moon, and then right now what's happening is Saturn's in your third. So what the universe is asking you to do is to release old thought patterns, like the way you think about things, change that up. Think about 0 through 8th grade, which is about age 12, 13 in there, 14 maybe. And the thoughts that you had from that time are in the process of changing and shifting. And that change should be effective and finished by the beginning of November, at which point then your chart says, okay, now I'm ready to go forward. You're at the last legs of release, 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 ending, ending. So what's happening now is there's a lot of stuff that should be kind of frozen and not releasing, which is, I think, what you said, your frozen feeling. It's not releasing because you're not done with it or ready to have it go just yet, but it should go in this next quarter, okay? Right now is getting clear mentally on things and seeing them in a different perspective. And the eclipses that we had, the ones that we had on the one around January 23rd would have brought up some hidden stuff from the family or from health that you also have to deal with and work on. And then the new eclipse is in the second house of what's important to you, the one that's coming this week. So your job is to kind of say, okay, what's important to me in this going forward period and where do I go? But the releasing thing, we've got to get Saturn off your Pluto, which is the opposition was the energy of the World Trade Center, you know, when they were having the fight. And the union of them happens this fall. And once that happens, you're going to feel the new beginning start. But right now, you're kind of in the, I don't have any energy, I don't have anything going. And it's really all very mental, where you're supposed to be mentally releasing things and kind of coming up with a new way of figuring things out. And then in about, should have been about 4 months ago, there was a loss or you let something go. And then in 7 months, you're going to really feel like you're moving again. But right now, it is really feeling very unproductive and unmoving, like nothing's going.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned the Saturn opposition Pluto, and that when that goes into a square, I guess, well, I'm not sure I want to be looking forward to that either, Anne, because don't I nearly have that aspect? I mean, Saturn square Pluto.
Right, but that's why your chart was waiting for that time to happen.
Oh.
Right, because when it's not right now, Saturn and Pluto aren't doing anything.
Mm.
And for you, Saturn's a south node planet, and it's in your 12th, and Pluto's a fourth house planet in your fourth. And the two of them are going to be forming a square. And so when they form a square, then your chart activates.
Like because, how?
Huh? No. Well, no, but, you know, like you have the chart that says I want to transform things with the Sun-Pluto.
Yeah.
Or with a Saturn-Pluto square. So that aspect, the World Trade Center was the opposition. The conjunction is a baby being born or a new beginning. So you've got the conjunction happening this fall with the Pluto. When the conjunction happened with your Saturn 7 years ago, that would have been an ending when you had your Saturn return. That was a big release. And right after that, you were born again when Saturn came with your ascendant at 10 Cancer. Then what we do once we're born, you're basically, think about it as angular. When Saturn hits your ascendant, what you're doing is you then start a seven-year cycle of learning to be born again, which you've been doing for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Once Saturn hits the bottom of your chart, which is this fall, then we start the new cycle, because the cycle starts from the very bottom and climbs up. So your job now is Saturn's in your third, is to go back and work with your siblings, go back and think about your early childhood training, go back and think about all the things you were taught about how it was appropriate for you to be or behave vis-a-vis family and relationships, because you do have that Saturn in Cancer on the South Nodes. So you have a karmic story that you're solving around relationships in this lifetime, especially the father energy or the absence of the father, and what you believe about families and what you believe about your ability or your right to have a family and what you think is important for you. So that's what the universe wants you to do now, Saturn through the third. Go back and think about everything that they told you from 0 to 8th grade, which is like age 14, 15, or maybe it can be a little smidge earlier. Sometimes people go, well, it was really 12 to 13 because it was, I don't know if you were raised in India, but culturally,
yes, I was.
Kind of, you know, the grammar school period where you're sitting in a room listening to people tell you things and you're not being encouraged to question. And so your job is to go back and think about all the things you were told to believe. And now in the light of your life, where you've gotten, what are those things do you still believe? A lot of times when people have Saturn go through the third, the person says, well, you know, I always thought that this would be the life I would have, and that was my 13-year-old vision of my life. And now that I'm 30-whatever, 34, 35, 36, what are you, 36? Going to be 36. Yeah. Now that I'm 36, what do I actually really want? What do I really want my life to be? Because come the fall, Saturn's going to be on Pluto saying, okay, Kyla, we're ready to go forward with you now and start your next 30 years and help you build a cycle and help you build. So Saturn right now, yes, totally stuck. Feels totally stuck. Plus the moon's in Capricorn, so it feels like you're working in quicksand. And that moon has to get past your, your solar arc moon is three caps, so it's feeling very stuck, and it was last year on the North Node, so it was releasing stuff. And it is kind of a vision thing. It's about you having the new vision. And with the moon in Pisces, by progression, it gives you kind of a feel like, gee, you know, I'm kind of feeling betwixt and between. I don't really have a vision of what I want. So you don't have to have a vision of what you want. What you have to maybe do is a vision of what you don't want. Make a list of everything you don't want, and then on a piece of paper, and then on another piece of paper, write the positive version of it.
Because psychically, emotionally, a lot of, you know, progress on the mental front, but on, you know, in the 3D world. Yeah.
No, but that's where you're supposed to be. It's all mental right now, and it's not physical. Mm-hmm. It can't be physical until Saturn gets to the bottom, because he's still releasing. Yeah. Got to get to the bottom of the chart. He's in a mental house right now. And creation comes in four stages. First is mental. First we have to think it, the air. Saturn's in an air house. Then we have to feel it, the moon, when he goes through the water house. Then we have to have the passion or the inspiration for it when he goes through the fire house. And then we have the creation in form when he's in earth again. So right now Saturn's in a mental house. He wants you working hard mentally and thinking about things. He wants you systematically going through what your belief systems are. He wants you learning how to talk again. Go take a sign language. Go take a language in another language you don't know. And learn how to think in another way so that your brain gets stretched, because that's what Saturn's looking. A lot of times when people have Saturn go through the third, it's a great time to learn a new language, to learn sign language, to learn how to communicate, learn internet, learn how to program, because your brain wants to be put to work to learn something new it doesn't know. Even just memorizing poems, you know, going back and rereading your childhood poems that you used to know by heart and saying them out loud again and exercising those brain cells in a different way to give yourself, because Saturn through the third is mental. It is supposed to be mental. It's not a time of physically, and it does indicate on some level here you can mentally rearrange your books, like take all the books off your bookcases and move them around and put them in new categories or throw some away. Mm-hmm. Because you can do some physical shuffling of the papers and books in your house, because Saturn's on your solar arc, your progressed rather Vesta. So a lot of times when you move the books and you go, geez, I haven't read that book in so long, let me read it. Or, gee, I remember that book and I don't really know that I believe that anymore. And then you release it out into the world. It's very much a mental time. Not supposed to be doing other work.
Yeah, I think that's sharply contrasted also, and I think, you know, but you just this release, but also, you know, my moon is getting just squashed, you know, with the triple conjunction going on right there.
Totally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and the moon is just so critical to me. I don't know. It's just
well, the moon
intense.
Is critical to you. So
yeah.
That's the Neptune. It's all those. It's those three air, the gang of three. So those of you who didn't understand what Kyla was saying, the gang of three, Neptune, Chiron, and Jupiter, are squaring her progress, her natal moon at 27 Scorpio. But you're going to have that for another couple of years. So, and the square to it says spiritual path, emotional development. It's in the 12th house or the 8th house. You can, you know, have some therapy or get into a group where people discuss things politically that you don't agree with and fight with them. But yes, it is squaring your moon, and the moon as the ruler of your chart is saying, but you know, to everything there is a season. You're not that's a mental air aspecting your emotional moon, square in a hard aspect, saying don't. It's not about the emotions. It's not about being creative right now. It's, you know, the moon in the fifth says creativity is an important part of your life, too. It's not about feeling passionate, because they're also squaring your Venus. They're mm-hmm. also squaring your Athena. And they're also, your progressed Mercury right now is at 23
yes.
Scorpio.
There's my sun there, too, kind of away.
Well, your,
but sun, yeah.
your
yeah.
sun's, you know, your sun's out of
yeah.
orb. But,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
yeah. It's, yeah, so your sun's not there, but the other ones are, so you're what you love, what you feel nurtured by, and how you think. They're all being they're all being challenged by Neptune and Jupiter.
Yes.
So, yeah, mental. Neptune and Jupiter and Chiron are all in air. Or, if you want to say it the other way, they're in the rain. So it can also be highly emotional, and you can feel very, very swamped with everything other than the ground. Yeah.
I mean, my skin has been breaking out, you know, just on my arms and stuff like that. Just, I mean, sensitivity is an all-time high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very, very crazy. But thank
well,
you so much.
How, yeah. The skin is also how you, it's your barrier and your boundary. There's an
mm-hmm.
excellent book by Liz Green on barriers and boundaries, and she does a long riff on Saturn and Capricorn, and she explains, and I think it's really instructive, when you're going through a major change like you are with the Capricorn energy plus, you know, or with the structure of your life, maybe is a better way to say it.
Yes.
One of the things the skin does is it keeps all of our stuff inside of us, you know, so like
mm-hmm.
when you have a blister or something and you see all the stuff oozing, you're always kind of like, wow, it makes a lot of fluid, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Correspondingly, it keeps the bit stuff out. So by being very porous with that Neptune square, that's the square of Neptune to your moon and Saturn through your third, your boundaries are light as air. So you
mm-hmm.
are very susceptible to any kind of, and you know, in general with Saturn and Cancer, you do have skin issues anyway, but
mm-hmm.
Even more so now. And
yes.
so honor it and say, okay, I'm extra sensitive, so I need to be careful what I eat. And also the skin is a detoxing. When you're at the end of the cycle like you are, this is essentially you're in a major release. So your skin is a vehicle for releasing. So take, you know, one of those Buff Puff things and gently debrise your skin every day and encourage it to release, because the skin is the larger organ of releasing, because
mm-hmm.
it is. It's the larger organ of release. It's, you know, we get our waste out through our breath, through our bowels and our ureter, and our skin. It releases sweat, pores, toxins all the time. Help your skin to release, because all those clogged pores, clogged thinking. And like, look at that little pore and go, what are you clogged with? What do you need to release?
Mm.
And let that go. And that's the whole idea. Release, release, release.
So this book by Liz Green is called Barriers and Boundaries?
Barriers and Boundaries, and it's published by the Center for Psychological Astrology out of England. It's great.
Okay.
And she talks about Saturn, and it's a really good book. And also her book, Saturn, New Look at an Old Devil. Read Saturn in the Air Signs. Read Saturn going through the third. Pretend you have Saturn in Gemini now, because technically you do. Write, journal,
okay.
keep all sorts of things listed and going. So, all right, so
thank
we're getting
you very
you're
much.
Welcome. Have
I
a good
appreciate
week.
It.
Okay,
bye.
All right, so we're at the very end of the show, so I apologize to the 510 number. I'm not going to be able to pick you up. But call in next week, and we will answer your questions. And this week, remember, we have this eclipse on Wednesday. It'll be very profound. You're going to really feel it. Just remember to breathe. Remember to look at the part of you that goes never again, never again. And let that part go out into the universe. Give it love. Be kind to yourself this week. It's a very hard week on Earth. Be kind to the people you meet this week, because they're having a hard time too. It's a lot of volatile energy. People are not necessarily feeling the love, because the eclipse is in Leo. They're not necessarily feeling honored and adored. The eclipse is in Leo. The South Node in Leo says, you got to honor and adore yourself because nobody else is gonna. Or they might, but if it doesn't come from you, it doesn't count. So love yourself. Be careful. Have a good week. Watch for the eclipse. Make sure to look for it if you get a chance. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.